The Broken Twig Podcast with your hosts, Nobs and Hirsty.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Broken Twig Podcast. If you love it, follow us on Instagram at the Broken Twig Podcast and on Twitter at the Broken Twig. And let's get right into it. Hello, everybody. This cough is like the saber season. Well, anyways, I am Nobes, and with me I have Hirsty. So, hi, Hirsty. How are you doing today?
Doing well. Doing well. How are you doing?
Doing pretty good. It's a nice day, kind of wet outside, but you know what? I'm doing pretty fine. It's the weekend. Leafs are on the roll, and yeah, good times.
Now let's get right in. You mentioned your coffin, Buffalo Sabres, struggling. Is it time for them to blow it up now? Should they trade? If I'm a fan, like I would want them to trade the entire franchise except everyone under maybe 24 to keep those.
That's what happens when they have to do like constant rebuilding and stuff like that. So I don't really think that. I just think that it's a problem of their coach who they need to fire. And I don't get why everyone thinks is so amazing and stuff. Like, he's literally a soccer coach. And it's also just like, they just don't have any depth.
Well, it's not really their coach. Like, their coach is horrible, but also their owners, the Pegulas, are like the worst owners. So,
yeah, they're really good football owners, but bad hockey owners. And you know why? Because in football, they just bought out. They let the football people do the footballing. And by doing that, they build an amazing team with Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs, and Cole Beasley and everything. But for hockey, they just get way too involved, which really ruins it, and it makes it that the team's bad. Just like James Dolan. And he's a really bad basketball owner because he gets way too involved with the team, says like really dumb stuff, and just makes it that no one wants to play with the Knicks. But for the Rangers, it seems like for the most part, he stays out of it, lets the hockey people do their thing, and in turn, it makes it that the Rangers can build a very solid franchise that can win year after year.
Yeah, well, I think the reason for Buffalo to have success or make the playoffs, they're going to have to at least fire the entire staff.
They already did that. Already tried it.
Not, they do it again, and they get rid of the freaking owners somehow, some way. Hire Mike Babcock, for God's sake. Actually, don't. He's awful. But they got to find out how they can do that and restart the whole team from scratch, okay? They'll be reborn. The reborn Buffalo Sabres.
Well, I don't agree with that. I think that when teams just keep trying to blow it up, they just get stuck in a state of constant rebuild, which really is what the Sabres are. What they need to do is fire Ralph Kruger. Then, like, this season, you've already kind of rid off the season. They're not going to make the playoffs or anything. Just write off the season as a failure. Be like, okay, hey, this is a failure. Try and get top pick. Then you fire Ralph Kruger, hire Gerard Gallant. You hope that you pick really high and get someone who can. You don't want to rush them because rushing top prospects into the NHL is what's doomed the Sabres before. So you get someone good. You like develop them for a year. Then you also sign some pretty good depth free agents. Make sure Jack Eichel's happy. Actually play Jack Eichel with Taylor Hall and play Jeff Skinner, the man you're paying $9 million to. And then you're good. They're not going to win right away, but there is like a path to winning, although there is a bit of a problem there because the Buffalo Sabres are basically at the cap. They have the cap friendly projects them as having $672,000 in cap space. And next year they only have $47 million in cap space committed for the team. So there is flexibility.
No, they'll have a lot of space next year because they have a lot of contracts up. What they do, the way to do this is at the deadline, you trade Taylor Hall trade Eric Staal, and maybe even you trade Montour too, in the offseason, all for picks and prospects for the future, and then you trade Eichel in the offseason, and then you build.
No, you don't trade Eichel. You only trade Eichel if he explicitly requests a trade. Eichel is your franchise player. It's super hard to get Jack Eichel. You keep Jack Eichel unless he says, I want a trade, and I'm going to hold out until I get a trade. But if he doesn't say that, you keep him, and you still continue to try and build around him.
I don't know. They're going to hurt his career. They got to restart.
I think Jack Eichel, feel bad for him that he's stuck on the Sabres. But if you're the Sabres, it's not a good idea to trade Eichel.
Well, as a Sabres fan, you kind of would want that because you want to save him. And also, they're so far from even playoffs. They're so far from playoffs. There's not one good part of their team other than their top line, Rasmus Dahlin, who's an RFA next year.
But the thing is, Jack Eichel is a free. This isn't like the NBA where franchise players are trading every single week and stuff. And plus, teams are a lot less willing to part with picks and prospects and stuff, to give up massive returns for one player. So you're really I think that you're overselling how much you're gonna get. And basically, if you trade him for a whole bunch of prospects and picks, you're just hoping that one of those prospects and picks turns into Jack Eichel.
Maybe, but you're also hoping you can draft someone similar. If the Rangers
exactly, but what are the chances of that?
If the Rangers offer you Kako, two firsts, and Tony D'Angelo for Eichel, do you take
it? Okay, first of all, you don't want D'Angelo. D'Angelo right now, based on the PR and everything, it's just not worth it to get D'Angelo at all. D'Angelo, that's just a non-starter. So, remove D'Angelo. But you're right, there would need to be cap going, the other way to make it work. You do have that right, but it wouldn't be D'Angelo. It would probably have to be, Jacob Trouba, but Trouba's a bad contract. They'd want a roster player too. Say Chris Kreider,
I would take
Mika Zibanejad.
I would take Jacob Trouba. He's a roster player for sure. I don't know if the Rangers would give him up in that, but if you're getting Kako,
actually, I look at Trouba's contract though. He's making $8 million until 2026. I just don't really think that.
I thought it was $6 million for three more years.
Yeah. No, I'd probably say they probably have to take back the Chris Kreider. He's making $6.5 million for until 2027, and he's 29. So I don't really know if you'd want to take that. But I'd probably say it would be Mika. But thing is, Zibanejad would only have 1 year left. So there's no way he re-signs with the Sabres after that 1 year.
Would not give up the Zibanejad.
Okay,
getting a hefty return. You'd be getting a top prospect / someone Kako, who has a really high ceiling player, young player prospect like that, plus probably one or two first round picks plus something else, right?
I know, but the thing is, there needs to be cap going back the other way just to make it work, if you know what I'm saying. Because no team in the NHL just has $10 million in cap space just to throw around, just to spend on Jack Eichel. So just for the sake of everything, you'd probably have to send Ryan Strome. He's making $4.5 million, and Eichel's making
Strome is a UFA, and
But Strome has another year left after this year. So even if they think that they're not going to re-sign him. Basically, if they get Eichel, Strome would be the third line center, making $4.5 million. So they probably have to get rid of him anyway. So it'd just be
They have $5 million, $5.5 million alone coming off the books from Brendan Smith and Jack Johnson, and I don't think they're gonna re-sign either of them.
I know, but they also need to pay. They have some people that they will need to pay, Pavel Buchnevich, Ryan Lindgren, he'll want some money. Like, and there's some other guys like Brendan Smith too, like Brett Howden. Yeah, like, there's some people that would want some money, and they'll probably also want to be active in free agency too. So
then you give up
And also Shesterkin also, his contract's also up.
So Buffalo should take on like a dead contract, kind of just for a few years while they're doing the
work. I know, that's what I'm saying. You need to take like cap hit back, but I don't really know who else it would be besides Ryan Strome, because like true, but he's making way too much for way too long, so I just think that that's too much.
They get a whole bunch of relief. Shattenkirk, they get like a $4.6 million after this year from his contract, and like an extra $4 million from Lundqvist.
That's true. So they do get captured. But what I'm just saying is they need to, like, the Sabres would still need to take some salary back just to make everything work.
But then with that salary back, they'd probably get like an extra pick. But if you're Buffalo, like, that's not terrible. You can use your pick. You're going to suck for the next 3 years.
Well, I'm
really high pick. You get maybe Owen Power this year, someone like that, a top three pick this year. Hope try and get the first pick next year so you can take Shane Wright. And then he's your franchise guy.
Here, I have a proposal for Eichel to the Rangers. So it's Jack Eichel for Ryan Strome, two firsts, Kaapo Kakko, and also I think that would be good. I think that could get done. And then how about and then also Sabres will add like.
What about they also, the Rangers would also add a fourth round pick.
Well, I don't know. I feel like though that Kaapo Kakko was a second round pick a few years ago, so I'm like a second overall. Like I'd probably say Kakko value is around two first round picks, wouldn't you? So you're basically giving up four firsts and Ryan Strome.
Look, so if this is a superstar, though, this is a top player, you have to pay a ton for this. And if you're the Rangers, a little bit of an overpay is not that big of a deal because, once again, you don't really care about that pick because you're content. You're trying to contend.
Yeah, how about that's true.
But also, then, suck this year, so I don't know.
Then Sabres also give up Curtis Lazar too, just that the Rangers will get an extra roster player.
Okay. Wait. What? New York might have a high pick this year. Like, especially if they keep David Quinn and Panarin doesn't come back, like, they're going to have a high pick.
Well, yeah. Well, this deal would be done in the offseason. So I assume the first would probably be 2022 and 2023.
Maybe, but a first this year would get it done easier, probably.
Yeah, but I'd assume the trade would probably be done like after the draft. It would be done like well into free agency, you know, like during mid-July, probably.
Okay, yeah. So if you're Buffalo, once you've made that move, now you have a ton of picks. Or what happens at the deadline, okay? What if you trade?
I don't think that they're going to trade him at the deadline, though, because just
no,
like...
No, not him. I'm talking about other players. They should definitely trade Hall at the deadline.
Yeah, I think that they should trade Hall. He's on a one-year deal. He's going to leave after this year anyways. Yeah, they should trade Hall. Probably Stahl, too. Hall, Stahl, trade them all.
Stahl could be a good player for the Leafs to target.
Yeah, he could. He's making $3.2 million, but it'd be half retained. So yeah.
Oh, he has a no trade clause though.
But I'd say he'd probably waive it to go. It's modified no trade clause first, and also he'd probably want to go in the Leafs. He's from Thunder Bay, and basically anyone who lives in who grew up in within like 100-mile radius of Toronto, everyone just assumes it's gonna go to the Leafs. But yeah, but I assume like the teams on his no trade list wouldn't be Toronto, unless some players just have all Canadian teams on their no trade list. But if Toronto is on his no trade list, I feel like it would be kind of weird. There's 10 other teams that I could easily name that you'd much rather not want to go to than Toronto. So, yeah.
Well, who's a team that could use Taylor Hall?
Team that could use Taylor Hall?
The Oilers could.
Yeah, the Oilers could trade Taylor Hall.
They had a player like Taylor Hall that they had on their team already. That was...
I have a great idea. Adam Larson for Taylor Hall.
Yeah, that sounds like a pretty decent trade. It's actually a bit lopsided, but I mean, why not?
Yeah. Or also, I think Boston could be in the market for Taylor Hall. They've been searching for an extra top six winger for so long to go along with like their stacked top line. So I think that
they don't have anyone to trade though, like a prospect. They have no future already.
Well, they have pretty much all their picks for the next 3 years. It's like Taylor Hall and a rental. I'd probably say it would be like a first B-minus prospect and a B-minus prospect and maybe a roster player. Would you say that's fair? Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty good. Like a first year, Boston's for upcoming first round pick, Jack Studnicka and like Nick Ritchie or someone.
Andre Kasha, because he's been kind of struggling.
Well, but I'd say Kasha is too good to just be the extra roster player that you throw in. I'd say they probably want
Nick Ritchie's been really good this year.
Yeah, it's been, well, I guess not Ritchie then, maybe like Sean Corrali or like Connor Clifton.
Connor Clifton's young though.
25, I don't know about young.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of young. Yeah, so maybe you get an extra pick so they have more picks this year. Then they trade Stahl. What do you get for Stahl? Like a third round pick?
Yeah, like a third, I'd say, is maximum. If Ryan Murray could only net a fifth, I don't think you're getting anything more than a third for like a 36-year-old third line center. So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then you trade Montour because that's not working out here. So he's gone. So you have all these picks and stuff. And then you ban the Pegulas from Buffalo, making them forced to sell the team. Someone buys the team, fires everybody. They restart from scratch in the draft. They pick someone decent.
But I don't really think that who's the guy that the Sabres hired as their GM?
I have no clue. Wait, yes, I do. I was just talking about him. Oh, what's his name? Is it Kevin Adams?
Yeah, Kevin Adams. That's who it is. Kevin Adams. He hasn't really done much. He just got hired, so I'd give him more time just to, like, show what he can do, you know. So I'd keep Kevin Adams, and they basically already axed their entire scouting staff anyways. But yeah, and the Pegulas, they definitely need to sell the team. So
yeah. And oh, also something that just came out 20 minutes ago. This was reported by John Vogel. He's a writer for The Athletic, a Sabres writer. Said Jack Eichel just said he got hurt in New Jersey, not during the warmups. His injury was not a new development. If you don't understand, Ralph Kruger said his injury was during the warmup and it's not related to skipping the morning skate, which is just, there's a bunch of hubbub. There's all sorts of stuff being said. Oh, he was never injured. He's been injured the whole season, all this crap. So nobody's really sure what's going on there, but that's a disaster, and it's just going to get downhill from here. And it looks like he's starting to show a bit of flashes of Pierre-Luc Dubois before he left, because if you saw, there's a play going around of earlier today against Couturier where he kind of just gave up and made no attempt to cover him in front of the net while standing next to him. So yeah. As this goes on, if this gets worse, he might actually be traded by the deadline because his value could tank.
Yeah, I know. It definitely could. Mm-hmm. But, well, like I said, he's their franchise player, I think it would be foolish to trade him unless you request a trade. Unless you're forced, where it's like, the only thing I could do is request a trade, or else I'm basically just losing Jack Eichel for free because he's just going to, like, sit out or something. That's the only way you trade him. But I just don't really see, like, the point in just trading another franchise player with just for him to succeed somewhere else.
Well, he's not playing like a franchise player this year because franchise players can drive a team.
I honestly don't care. He's a franchise player.
Franchise players don't have the same amount of goals as Jimmy VC.
He's on the Sabres. Come on, give him a break.
So, he's a superstar. He was playing with Taylor Hall, who's been amazing this year, by the way.
Well, that might not show it, but he's not really, because of, because Ralph Kruger's a bad coach, so he hasn't really actually playing, but
Buffalo's last in the NHL right now. They're tied for last with Ottawa. They do have four games in hand, but realistically, do those four games mean anything?
I just want to say that, he has his goals for percentage is 40, but his expected goals for percentage is 60. So it really just means that, his expected goals percentage is 60. So it's just, like, the pucks just really have been going in for him, too. Like, his PDO is 0.963, which is horrible, if anyone doesn't know. Like, 963 is really bad for a PDO, and PDO just measures luck, so... Like, he's just been getting really unlucky. Most of his advanced stats are very positive. Maybe not, like, as positive as you want for a franchise player, but they definitely have all been, like, pretty good.
Yeah, but he still should be, like, he's not even producing at a point per game right now, which is...
I don't know, like, he's playing with, like, I don't know, I don't really know, like, about that, I'm looking right now.
In a 82 game pace, okay, based on the stats right here, 2 goals, 12 assists, 14 points in 16 games. He's producing,
But, like, his most common line mates
at a 10.25 goals over a full 82 game season.
Yeah, but his most common line mates have been Sam Reinhart and Victor Olofsson, who are pretty good players, but it's not like they're amazing.
Well, they both have 5 more goals than Eichel, so I think the problem on the line is not those two guys right now. Both of them, Reinhardt's tied with Eichel in points, but Olofsson has more points.
Yeah, but you're using points, right? Like, it's not just points.
Okay, but if you're a superstar, you should be producing some points.
I know that, but his PDO is 9.67. He's swinging.
Blame his line mates when they're producing better than him.
I'm just saying. This is, so far this season, he's had the highest expected goals percentage of his career.
I don't give a fuck.
He's also had the highest percentage Fenwick for, like, shots for, Corsi for.
Analytics. Look at the stats.
Looking at the stats.
He's not producing well enough, and they got, they should.
He is having a career season. He's played for the Buffalo Sabres, so no one knows it.
He's not having a career. He's having a career worse season.
That's not even true. Pretty much all of his stats, except for actual goals for, have been the best of his career, which just means he's been amazing. It's just that the puck hasn't been going in for him. His on-ice shooting percentage is 4.6. He is when he is on his ice, his teammates only score 4% of their shots, all right?
Yeah, that means he's the problem.
How?
He's having a worse season, okay?
His teammates are shooting 4% when he's on the ice. You're telling me that's his fault that his teammates can't hit the net?
He's not on the ice.
What?
Look how much they're shooting when he's not on the ice.
I don't really. Okay, I'll try and see that.
Just check it with like their other center, like Stahl or something. Also, I kind of realized I did not understand you right, but I'm still sticking with this.
What do you mean you didn't understand?
I thought you said he's shooting 4% with those guys.
No, his teammates are shooting 4% when he's on the ice.
But that's also partly his fault for not giving them good enough chances.
I don't see how you can blame that on him. That's what you say.
Well, if the other guy's stuff is better, then I see why.
Oh, yeah, the Sabres shooting, like there's team shooting percentage is 4.8. And Jack Eichel is on ice shooting percentage is, so wait a second.
It's terrible. He shot 50 shots and he scored 2.
His on ice save percentage, his on ice shooting percentage is 4.6. So basically Sabres average. So it's really been like his teammates just haven't been coming through for him. And he's just been getting really unlucky. I'm telling you, Jack Eichel is actually having a career season.
I don't care about career percentages. Career percentages don't win you games. Career goals win you games.
Okay, but it's not his fault this team sucks. He's been good this year. He's trying to discount them.
Well, his team sucked last year, and his team sucked the year before, and his team sucked every year he's been on the team, and not once has he played on pace had like point totals look this low. Last year he had 78 points in 68 games.
Okay, but you're not listening to me. You're really not listening to me. He's been like, okay, this season, when he's on the ice, his team, the Sabres, have scored 6 goals. Wait, that can't be right. How many points did you say he has?
He has 14.
Okay, well, that can't be right. Well, it must be. How many goals did he say he has?
He has 2.
How many points? You just said that. The hell? Says he's played 7. I know. Well, goals for it must be like. That's kind of weird. That. I don't know. He's played 17 games, right?
Yeah, 17 now.
Yeah, that's kind of weird. Whatever. It must be, like, different. It must, like, be, like, something, like, that he's impacted or, like, something like that. Yeah.
Percentage is actually 4.0 this year. And now...
Yeah, exactly. Unless when a star forward shoots... When the star forward shoots 4%, that generally you don't blame it on him. Generally, he's just been having very bad luck.
I mean, I guess it's worse than 4% now because he had another 3 shots today and didn't get anything. But it doesn't, like, he's not been playing up to snuff. And I bet you all the fans who've been watching all the games can say that. Because he's just struggling with goals. Even strength, his chances 4% is a career high. And he's still got a career low average of goals this year. Like he's not playing well enough. And you can say, oh yeah, it's just him getting unlucky. Well, he's got to start making his own luck and start burying some pucks. Because in general, like he's not playing amazing. Is he playing well defensively? No. So he's not really contributing as much as he was before. And I know there's all sorts of other problems with the team, but what you want to see is him to start playing well. Also, he looks like Marv from Home Alone.
True, he does.
So if Buffalo wants like to do well, if they decide to, like they're going to keep Eichel, they're going to need him to play better.
I said it again, it's not Eichel's fault. You're not even listening to me. Basically, all of his stats are career highs. It's just that he hasn't been able to score.
Career stats, because they're not his real stats. His stats are expected for career lows.
Okay, but if your only argument is his points are lower than normal, that completely invalidates the entire argument.
Not just his points.
What else?
Like every a lot of this stuff.
What other stuff? Tell me.
Well, here, one sec. Face-off percentage is higher, so do what you will with that. I don't, means nothing. PDO's down a lot. It's career low.
Yeah, PDO is luck. That just means that he's been getting unlucky. That's what I've been saying. His PDO is very bad, and it's like, okay, like bad enough where you like be like, oh, that's just unlucky.
In 2017, his PDO was only 2.4 points higher, and he still had 64 points in 67 games with 25 goals.
Hang on, just wait a sec. Okay, so on that thing. Like, okay, so what year are you talking about?
That was 17-18.
Yeah, 17-18, his PDO is 9.89. And this year's PDO is 9.63. That's a big difference in terms of PDO. Like 20 points, that's a huge difference.
No, his PDO was 9.6.8 in 17-18. Now it's 9.4.5.
No, it's not. What website are you using?
That's really weird. How do we have different?
Are you on Natural Stat Trick?
No.
What website are you on then?
I'm using Hockey Reference.
Yeah, that must be different because according to this, his PDO is 9.89 in 17-18.
Oh, what about, what did it say for 16-17?
9.93.
I think it's a year off because 15-16 here says 9.94, 16-17 is 9.89, then 9.68, then 9.88, then 102.0, then 9.45.
Okay, but 9.68, that can't be right. Because 9.68 is, that's like low enough for you to be like, okay, he's just been getting unlucky, but that's stable out through the entire year. Like he just, that can't be right. They must, it must be like a different calculation for PDO.
I don't know how that would be possible, but maybe. Fine. We're saying, okay. Yeah, we're going a bit extra on this. Hammering the Eichel stuff. He's not been horrible this year, but he's not scoring at the proper thing. Like, his shooting talent's 9.
Exactly. That's for a star player, and when it's pretty early in the season, the shooting talent is that low. That probably just means they've just been getting super unlucky.
Even with the getting unlucky, he's still not producing at a proper level. And now it's time to move on to. We can move on. What do you want to move on to? We can talk about Jordan Binnington's interesting thing last night. Did you watch the game?
No, I didn't, but I saw the highlights of Binnington throwing a mini temper tantrum after he was pulled.
I didn't watch it either because one, who watches San Jose St. Louis games? Two, it's not on my TV, so I can't watch it. And three, I was watching the Habs game. So what happened was Jordy Binnington kind of getting lit up. It was a final score was 7-6. I think after the fourth goal. I'm not sure. I think it was the third or fourth goal. And Binnington was pulled. And, man, he was not happy. Okay, on the way, he was walking off the ice.
Yeah, Binnington, he let up 4 goals on 15 shots, and then he was pulled.
So he has to go to the opposite side of the ice to exit. And before I explain, he's not a big guy. He's small. And so he's going down. He passed a couple of sharks. Tries to blocker Erik Karlsson in the face. Unsuccessful. But first, before he blockered Erik Karlsson, he blockered someone else in the face, who I'm not sure who that is. But he's talking to a lot of people too. He first went to the Sharks bench and tried to push someone in the face with the glove. I have no clue who they are because I don't know who 51 is. But then he walks past Erik Karlsson, blockers him in the face, then goes down to Dubnyk, starts going after him. Now, that's not a good idea because Devin Dubnyk, massive dude. He would probably beat the crap out of Binnington. He's not the greatest goalie, but he's, you know, starts pushing him around, and then eventually he finally gets off the ice. And, yeah, that was that. So that's the Binnington temper tantrum, and it was really weird because I've heard people say that he's got a bit of a temper, but I've never seen something like that in a while.
Yeah.
That was pretty crazy. Just went up to the guys and just punched them in the face. I don't know if he's going to be suspended. He probably won't be suspended for it. I don't even know if he got penalized for it. But, yeah, it was really, really weird. And it was also kind of funny.
Yeah, he didn't get penalized for it. But, yeah, it was very funny.
Well, they won the game. I think
it all worked out in the end.
But now everyone looks at Jordan Binnington differently because that was really stupid of him to do.
Yeah, it was.
He lost his crap. Like, oh my God. When's the last time you've seen a goalie do that? I don't even know.
Mike Smith, Cam Talbot last year.
But, like, did Mike Smith punch people in the face?
He punched Cam Talbot in the face.
Well, yeah. It kind of reminds me of Tuukka Rask. Because Tuukka Rask flips out a lot. Like, he smashed it on the post or something. And
yeah.
Did he have a bit of a freak out?
I don't know. He might have.
Because of the it was a while ago, there was a shootout where there were two non-goals that counted as goals, and he turned around, starts slamming his stick on the bar, then he's slamming his stick, then he goes to exit the ice, slams his stick on the boards, chucks it across the ice, freaks out, runs away. That's the most similar thing to put it to. Just yikes. It was funny though.
Yeah.
I don't know what that'll bring for the future. If it means anything, it probably doesn't mean anything. The team might discipline him. I don't know why they would though. So yeah, that's that.
Yeah.
Nobody's still here.
Yeah, I'm still here. What's up? Can you not hear me? No. Hello, can you hear me?
Can't hear you.
You can't hear me?
Well, anyways, we'll move on to the next thing. Talk about the LA Kings recently. They've been on fire. Their whole team drink from a fountain of youth. Quick, Kopitar, Dustin Brown, all those guys, they're playing really well, and they've been haven't been playing like this in a long time. I think they are now
they're only 2 points out of behind the Blues, but they have a game in hand on the Blues.
Not sure if that streak ended, but as of right now, they're currently sitting in their division at fifth in the standings. Only 1 point behind Colorado.
But also,
out of first.
They're only expected
for them at the start of the year. And now, you know, the coach came out and the GM came out and said, no, we're still continuing on with our plans for the rebuild. We're not going to make any special moves to try and speed it up or anything, which I think is really smart. And keep building the team. It'll be improving every year. And then, you know, ride the wave, maybe make the playoffs, have some fun there. And yeah, it's a big surprise. Nobody expected them to be this
strong. Like King, yeah, they've been pretty good. And also, right now, they're only the Avalanche have a few games in hand on them, but they're only 2 points behind the Blues, and they have a game in hand on the Blues. So I think it's a lot more likely that they will be able to catch the Blues. Yeah, like
14 goals. Or sorry, not 14. 12 on this
year.
Or sorry, not 12. He has 11, which is still pretty crazy because last year he finished with 17 goals and 66, and he hasn't been on this good of a goal pace ever. So he has the most goals of his career, which is pretty crazy considering how much he's been on the decline. Like, he declined a lot last year. And he's 36 years old, so nobody expected him.
You know, he may just be on a hot streak, or he may just be like getting back to it. So yeah.
Now with the, they have Athanasiou now, a couple from the off-season addition, because the Oilers decided to waste their picks on him and do nothing with it. Their goalie Cal Peterson, the young guy who's supposed to step into his role, started off pretty well, 4-4-2 with a 2.43 goals against the .928 save percentage. He has some expectations, and that's the reason they traded
Jack Campbell. Yeah. So. Campbell. Yeah, and you know, like the Kings, you know, but the thing is, like they have 22 points in 20 games. So I'm being honest, it's not that amazing, but just that. Because of how the divisions are, sometimes a team may be able to sneak into the playoffs with less points than. Yeah. Like, they're only on pace for 90 points in a full 82-game season, which is fine. But normally that's, like, the amount of points that Sony's on the outside looking in the playoffs would get. Not, like, a playoff team or maybe, like, second wild card, you know? Not normally playoff, like, caliber.
I can hear you now. I don't know what just happened.
Yeah, so there's just a bit of a problem with the audio there. But, yeah, like in 18-19, the Canadians didn't even make the playoffs with 96 points. And that year also, the Colorado, they did make the playoffs with 90 points. You can make it with 90 points. But like, normally 90 is like fringe, like playoffs. So, it's not like the Kings, it's not like they've been like amazing like St. Louis Blues, but they have been on a pretty good run and they maybe could make the playoffs. But I don't, like, they maybe could make the playoffs if they keep it up. But to be honest, I don't really think they're going to be able to. I mean, they've been very much outperforming their expectations. Like, I don't really know how sustainable it will be for them to keep it up. So, like, yeah.
Yeah, but they're still like, This is way better than everyone. Like, everyone has thought they would be one of the worst teams in the league. And how many people did you think they were going to be at this point of the season, a bit over 20 games through? You think they'd be 1 point behind the Avalanche?
No, I didn't. And they, although actually, very surprisingly, they are rocking a perfect PDO of 1.000. So. Hasn't really been luck or anything, I guess, but yeah. But I just looking through the roster, just don't think they're playoff team. This happens a lot of times where a team, not many people expect them to do that amazing. They just go on a bit of a streak, get off to a hot start, are in a playoff spot, but they just don't sustain it throughout the entire year. Happens all the time. And I think that will be this year's Kings. And it's not really a slight on them. I mean, if they can at least compete for a playoff spot, I think that would be a huge win for a rebuilding team that looks to be on the upswing soon. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's great for the rebuild.
Mm-hmm. But I just think that a lot of people are hyping them up a bit too much when they could be amazing, but I don't think there's any way they'll be a playoff team.
I mean, yeah, they're probably not going to be a playoff team, but it's just cool to see, like, they're way outperforming expectations as of right now.
Yeah.
And they're beating, like, serious teams.
Yeah.
Not just bullying on, like, Arizona. They beat St. Louis twice. Well, they actually beat St. Louis three times. They beat Colorado twice. They've only played them twice. So, I mean, most of their wins have been against Minnesota and St. Louis. And Minnesota is second in the division. They've been really good this year. So, yeah, with their stud rookie.
Real Kaprizov.
Who is looking like the next Leon Draisaitl.
And you know who said that Kirill Kaprizov was going to win the Calder this year? Literally, do you know who said it?
NHL fan.
What?
Literally every single NHL fan.
You know who else said it? Me, because I'm always right.
Because you're an NHL fan, and everyone said that. But his
defense. Hey, but also, but actually, that's not true. I saw a lot of Alexi Lafreniere's. I saw some Igor Shesterkin's. Like, I saw a bunch of people saying that. Like, I even saw some Tim Stützle's too. Not everyone said that.
Yeah, I mean, Stützle was one of my guys too. I was never in the Lafreniere thing. I didn't expect them to be this bad. At one point earlier this year, he had less points than a goalie, an undrafted rookie goalie. So,
yeah,
unless he can play amazing somehow for the rest of the year.
Lafreniere revenge tour. He has assists in two of his last games. Maybe a Lafreniere revenge tour is coming where he just puts up like amazing numbers for the last few, like 30 games a season, and just goes absolutely ballistic and ends up winning the Calder. Could happen.
I mean, maybe, but as of right now, it seems like it's probably going to be either, what's his name? Kaprizov or Lankinen.
Yeah, I'd say probably. Like, that's really who it's down to at this point, but you don't really know.
If it went to biggest surprise, it would be Lankinen for sure, because that guy came out of nowhere, and everyone have the worst goalie tandem in the league. Chicago's going to suck, because they should suck, because they have no Taves, no Doc, and their goalie sucks. And all of a sudden, this guy Lankinen, out of absolutely nowhere, and he's really good. And Malcolm Subban's playing like a serviceable backup. So, I mean.
Yeah, and now they're in the playoff spot. And really, looking at the strength of the division, I think there is a very good chance that they end up keeping that playoff spot. The teams behind them are Columbus, mediocre, Nashville, mediocre, Detroit, mediocre, and Dallas, playing like they're mediocre. So, I actually, although I wasn't sold on the Kings, I actually think that there is a chance that the Chicago Blackhawks make the playoffs this year.
I mean, yeah. DeBrincat's having a good bounce-back season.
Like, even though Taves, like, isn't playing and stuff, their team, they still have some pretty good players. And Kirby Dach's on LTIR and stuff. Like, they have a okay team. They have DeBrincat. Kane's been amazing. They have, like, Strom, Kubalik, Doc. Like, I just said, well, Doc's on LTIR. Like, Pius Suter's been a nice rookie surprise, too. And defense isn't great. It's, like, just, like, Duncan Keith and a bunch of randos. But it's
Adam Boqvist is not a rando.
I know, but isn't he, like, a rookie? Like, it's not like
over 60 points.
Actually,
he's on pace for over 50 points.
Oh, well, you know what? Boqvist, he's young. If he's stepping up and he continues to step up, Blackhawks could make a playoff. Same with they have Ian Mitchell. He could step up. Pretty good rookie. Like, okay. I actually think there's a clear cut path to the playoffs for the Chicago Blackhawks.
Well, yeah, especially with these other teams. Columbus has been horrendous of late. Nashville's been horrendous this year. We already know Detroit shit, and Dallas has been terrible, and they miss Seguin so badly, and they also kind of miss Bishop too, although their goalies have been fine.
Yeah, and then I will count on Dallas rebounding a bit. They've had some pretty tough like situations. They've had a lot of games canceled or postponed and stuff, and you know, like they've had some injuries. So I think that Dallas, they will get back to it, and they're not going to be like a bottom feeder all year, like mediocre all year. But
imagine if Joe Pavelski wasn't playing on an average to
yeah. But then also, like, 82 game season. I think that Florida will definitely take a step back. I don't see their successes being sustainable. Like, they so far they've been amazing, but I just don't know if they can be amazing for an entire year. Well, just like
has been is so good. Huberto continues to be amazing. Hornqvist is doing really well with the change of scenery, and they've had a big surprise in Carter Verhaeghe, Leafs legend Carter Verhaeghe.
Mm-hmm.
Driger's been playing really solid for them. Bobrovsky's still shit, but he has a 6-2-2 record, but that's like because of the team. So I mean, yeah, they're looking good, and I'm really glad it's these divisions, because the top five teams in the top five teams in the NHL this year, three of them are from the Atlantic Division, and seventh place in the league is also from the Atlantic Division.
Actually, top three teams in the league in terms of just points are all from the Atlantic Division. Toronto, and
Florida.
What?
Toronto, Tampa, Florida.
Yeah. And also, out of the top six teams in the league based on points percentage, which really in a shortened season with a lot of games being postponed is a better metric to like measure team strength than points. Out of the top six, four of the teams are in the Atlantic Division. So really not looking forward to going back to that.
Well, I mean, the Leafs are probably going to, if they keep playing like they are now, like next year, they are probably going to be like one or two in that division, because Boston's going to take a step back most likely. And,
I know every year people say Boston's going to take a step back. Boston's going to take a step back. They lost this player to free agency. This player is going to start declining. Just seems like every year they're still good. So I am not going to hop on the Boston's going to step back trade and yet. And I'm still going to like expect them to be amazing next year too. But still, Florida, I definitely don't think they're going to stay as amazing as they have been all year too.
Taking a step back. Both of them, and Rasky might be gone after this year. So, I mean, yeah, they're like, they have a bunch of wins against terrible teams, and they embarrassed a couple times. You should never give up 7 goals to a team that is known for not being able to score in the Islanders. And then 6 to a Rangers team without.
Yeah, but the thing, but every team has bad losses, though. Like,
they gave up 13 goals in 2 games to the Islanders and the Rangers, and have lost twice to the Devils this year, which I'm starting to think are not as good as I wanted them to be.
Told you.
Just wait till Heischer comes back.
Sure. Hasn't he sure already come back?
Yeah, but he left last game early because he took a puck to the visor and he didn't miss.
Oh, injured again. How's that breakout season going for you there, Hirsty?
3 points in 5 games? Pretty well.
Well, New Jersey it also has 16 points in 17 games.
Yeah, well, they also played a bunch of those games with Scott Wedgwood.
Oh, excuses. Still on pace for a 77-point season.
Well, what if you take out the starts from Comrie and Wedgwood, who are both shit? Take out those 6 games. Like, if they didn't have the COVID issue, like that huge COVID issue. They'd be doing much better.
The 18-19 season, 77 points would place you right in between the Buffalo Sabres and New York Rangers. And keep in mind, this was before the Rangers were good. This is when they were still, like, rebuilding and everything. So, yeah, 1 point above Buffalo from 2018-19. That's where the Devils are on pace to be for next year.
Okay, and they've lost a ton of games from their premier players.
And so, 77 points, it's still if you're on pace for 77 points, you must have had your entire team injured, because that's still, you'd still probably need to gain like 15 extra points on top of that just to be in contention for a playoff spot.
They've had 7 games not from their goalie, their starting goalie, and those 7 games, those goalies have posted a neither. The goalies posted a 902 save percentage in one game for Dell. Wedgwood had a 901 in 5, and Comrie had a 909 in 1, and they all were bad. And Blackwood has a 924 in 8.
Okay, yeah, but you're acting like they posted like 856 save percentage. Like, although 905, it's not poor, it's not amazing. It's something that you'd be like, all right, backup. You're like, you're my backup. It's fine. Not.
Yeah. Ryan Murray's hurt too, but they have 0 defensemen on this team that can play defense. So, Will Butcher, he's having his breakout season possibly. 3 points in 4 games. But yeah, I mean,
yeah, the average save percentage in the league so far this year has been 908. So, like, 905, that's not too far below the league average, I'd accept it. Division? What?
What if you factor out the North Division?
I don't know how to do that.
Because at the bottom of the league, the bottom 4, 3 of the bottom 4 goalies are in the North Division. And one of those is the proclaimed best goalie in the league, Carey Price. So, oopsies. He's terrible. And also near the bottom is Braden Holtby and Mikko Koskinen. The North Division has 7 goalies with a 905 and below save percentage. Yikes. But that's just because the North Division has really good offense. But
hey, you all know a very interesting stat that I just like on a website, and I just like came across and just think that I should share it. So just looking at the last 2 years, so 2019-20 season and 2018-19 season, those 2 years, like since power play opportunity, so have been counted. So there's been 57 NHL years where power play opportunities per team per game have been counted. The 2 years with the least power plays have been 2018-19 and 2019-20. Jeez. Yeah. So that is since 1963, the 2 years with the least power play opportunities were last year and the year before. Just wanted to bring that up there.
This year is going to be by far the least, even if it was an 82-game season with all the missed calls, you know?
Well, it's per game average. It's like per game.
They're still missed. The Leafs Oilers game.
Well, yeah, actually, this year has actually been 8. Yeah. And I think you can probably guess which year is the most.
Most penalties?
Yeah.
Probably recent. I don't know. 16, 17?
Do you want me to tell you?
Yeah.
Well, it's 2005-2006, because that was the season after the lockout when they had so many new rules and stuff about the penalties. So much more penalties. So, yeah.
Yeah, but then what's after that? It's probably like 08-09 or 2014-15.
It's actually 1987-88. And then, like, after that, when it's a bunch of the ones in, like, the late 80s and, like, 90s and stuff, when it's just, like, dead puck, like, clutch and grab era where, you know, like, that type of stuff. Penalties? Yeah.
Oh. Well, I thought it's probably really low in, like, the 70s and the 60s.
Yeah, like
they didn't call anything. They never called. There was way less things to call first, but they never called elbowing, never called all those other stuff.
Yeah, I know. Like Yeah, like that's true. Like 70s and stuff, it was very low.
I think in the 80s it'd be similar, but
yeah. Well, 80s there's a lot of line brawls and stuff like that too.
Oh yeah, that probably had a huge factor in it. That probably skyrocketed because of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cause one line brawl, like the bench is clearing brawl, that's like possibly up to that's over 60 penalty minutes if everyone comes on, right? I don't know if they called
that
back then, but now if a whole team comes on, I think there's like 18 people on a bench. So it would be 72 penalty minutes dished out at least if everyone came on the ice.
Well, not everyone gets like fighting majors and stuff like that. Like there's a lot of minor penalties. Some people just don't get penalties anyways. But yeah, there it was a lot of like penalties from that and stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, well, anyways, should we move on to another topic or just end the podcast here? What do you think, Kirsty?
What do you want to do?
No, we can keep going. Let's keep going.
Okay, well, if we're going to talk about something, we're talking about the, what's it called? The,
Montreal Canadiens?
No, they fucking suck and everyone knows it and everyone expected it. And I called their decline. They've lost 5 in a row now, by the way. It's a 2-year anniversary of Tavares' return to to New York, to the I don't even know which arena they played in because their arenas sucked and they keep changing. But the Islander fans, they're awful fans, driving over his jersey and burning his jersey in the parking
lot. Yeah, he was your captain for so long. Show some respect.
Yeah, he brought so many good years to that franchise.
Yeah, I know.
That they did that, like, oh, when you left, you said you were probably gonna stay. When oh, turns out you can make more money on a better team in a better city to bring up your kids
where you grew up.
Go.
Yeah. Hmm.
Oh my, like, it's like they shouldn't be mad. Like, they should maybe have mad a bit, but the video, that video of them all saying, oh, you're a traitor, and then when he actually played, they booed him and stuff. Like, he was your captain for so long.
Yeah, I know. Like, show some respect. For a lot of years, John Tavares was the only thing relevant about the Islanders. He made so many of your players get really bad deals elsewhere because he vaulted them into relevance. Show some respect. He got you past the first round. He won you a playoff series. He was your franchise player, the crown jewel of winning the draft lottery in 2009. So, and then you just go and you boo him, like, yell at him, say, we don't need you, burn his jersey. That's just no class at all.
I think they do need him because he would lead their team in points.
Yeah, exactly. They do need him. It's just like...
Yeah.
It's so dumb.
Odd. How could you... Like, if what's it called? Austin Matthews says he's going to stay. That might not be as good of an example.
Well, what about, let's look at another example, different sport, but still, Kawhi Leonard in Toronto didn't really give much indication what he was going to do, but he did some stuff to lead the Raptors fans in thinking he'd sign with them. Like, he was searching for a school in Toronto for his daughter. I think he might, like, bought a house or something.
That's different because...
And then he just leaves elsewhere. He comes back...
One of the championships. We're just all super grateful, and most of us didn't really give a shit if he stayed or not because we were happy we got a chip.
Yeah, I guess that is true. He did, but we just went in championship, but I'll think of another, like, but still, like, maybe that's even more salty. It's like, we just won a championship. and you still don't want to come back to us, like, come on. And still, he was still given a standing ovation. People are still, like, drawing murals of him. Some people say that there should be a statue of him outside.
Yeah. That's a good example. I can't think of one.
I know. I haven't seen. Also, I haven't seen any Houston fans crying their pants off about George Springer. He won the Astros a championship, and now he's in Toronto.
Yeah, but he's not saying. He didn't say like I was probably gonna stay or something like that. All that crap. Like he also won them a championship, and it's very different because he wasn't their captain. You know, like, I'm trying to think of an example. There's gotta be.
What about Tom Brady leaving the Patriots? It's another one. Boston fans are notorious for being horrible. I pretty much haven't seen.
Took advantage of him.
I've seen very little Boston fans cry and whine about Brady leaving them. Most of them are grateful for him even being there in the first place.
Well, that's because, like, the team took advantage of Brady. Like, it was the right – it was good of him to leave because they were taking advantage of him.
Yeah, but I haven't seen any people wetting their pants about it.
It's kind of like if Austin Matthews leaves and goes to Arizona, which probably won't be a team by the time his contract ends. And I think he's going to stay, but – it's like if he did that, but he's like kind of leading us on. Yeah, I might stay. I'll probably stay. You know, love this team. Love the city. You can love a city and not
want. Hey, first of all, I'm just saying, are you seriously defending Islanders fans right now?
No, I'm doing the opposite.
Because if Austin Matthews left us after 5 years, sure, I'd be very mad. At this point, as a Toronto sports fan, I'm kind of used to him. I'd be like, whatever.
I'd be pissed off for maybe.
Well, yeah, I'd probably be more pissed off at Leafs management for not having the ability to bring him back and not being able to say, like, this is a great city. Like, you should stay here. I wouldn't be pissed off at him. He's allowed to play where he wants. That's the whole point of free agency. Like, if he wants to make big money somewhere else, that's up to him. I would be more mad at Leafs management for not being able to actually either one, field a good enough team where he feels like it's a good situation to stay there, and two, not be able to lure him back after he's spent here. Like, that would be like 8 years. Once he becomes a free agent, that would be like 8 or 9 years that he's played for the Leafs, right? So not being able to convince him that after like 8 years that he's been with the team, it's not worth his time to come back and still play for them.
Yeah, like, I didn't pay close attention to his, like, bonds and stuff, but does he have a bond with anyone like Matthews has with Marner and Thornton and, like, all these guys? Because, I don't know, like, it seems to me that he wasn't, like, super close and stuff like that with these players. Like you can tell, like, the Leafs.
Well, I know, I wasn't really, I'm not an Islanders fan in any sense at all, so I wouldn't really know about that.
Yeah, but still, like, he made the better choice for him financially, family situation, and for himself. And you're mad at him because what? Because he did so much for your franchise. And he doesn't owe you guys anything.
Mm-hmm.
What does he owe the fans?
Yeah.
He put himself on the line, put his played his heart out every single year, played amazing, won them a playoff series. Like, what does he owe you? He doesn't owe you anything.
Yeah. I completely agree.
If he wins the cup, he's totally not going to do this. He's totally not going to do this. But,
Yeah,
I'm not gonna say it because I don't think it's so unlike something to do. But I mean, if he wins the cup on the Leafs, you better believe Islanders fans are gonna die on Twitter.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
For me, just in general, they will be bullied. bully, bully, bully. And they'll never be able to say anything about Tavares again, because not only will he be happier with more money on a better team, in his, with his kids growing up in a better place, but he'll have a Stanley Cup. And right now, the Islanders' only debate for saying, oh, it's a bad choice, is because, oh, the Islanders made it farther than the Leafs in the playoffs. Oh, our team sucks. We have no future. Oh, our GM is awful. Keeps giving out awful contracts. And our franchise player is not a superstar. Like, will not ever probably be like a top 5, 10 player in the league. Like, Tavares-wise.
Yeah.
Barzal could, but I don't think he will. Especially with this team he has now. He won't do, he's not able to do what Tavares did to this team, because he has the same players.
Yeah.
And
yeah, well, anyways, everybody, I think this has been a great episode, but I think we're going to end it here. Talked about a lot, went a bit over time here, gave you some extra stuff, because we just know that you all love sexy Nobes and ugly Hursty. I'm kidding, though, it's rude. Sexy Nobes and also sexy Hursty. So everyone follow us on Instagram and Twitter. Rate the podcast. We hope you loved us, and bye.